This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways. And all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between. Because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
97.1 FM Talk Podcast.
Brad Young sitting in for Mark Reardon today. Hey, thanks for hanging out with us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk. Of course, we're joined by Radio Hall of Famer.
Still shake my head when you say
Fred Bottomer.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
Sorry, Fred, the bell died. There,
there it goes.
Fred Bottomer over there, ladies and gentlemen.
Better than the Hall of Famer.
Yeah, you're like the only Hall of Famer that I can say I really know.
Oh, good.
I mean,
Fred Bottomer over there, ladies and gentlemen.
Exactly. I mean, I've met other people who are in the Hall of Fame of this or that, but you're the only one that like is in my cell phone.
See?
I want a red jacket. I think that's what
yes.
I want. There you go.
That would be good.
You technically got one when you hit
thank
40
you.
Years.
That's true.
Thank
I did.
You.
I did.
And neighbor same. Joyce can whip you one up if you really
that's
want
right.
it.
That's right. Or find one at Goodwill.
Exactly.
Yep. Well, next time my wife likes to run into Goodwill every now and again to see what their bargains are. I'm going to tell her if you see a red jacket, buy it.
You know, I don't think I'm ever in a Goodwill when they always have those signs that say, today all yellow-priced items are half-priced.
Wait, I didn't even know that was
yeah,
a thing.
Yeah, and it's like yellow, blue, or green, and I'm never there on the right color.
Well, my wife has brought home stuff. I'm like, where'd you get that? Oh, it was yellow tag at Goodwill.
Yeah.
Like, okay, great. I guess we're going to put it in the basement. So, or as I like to say, the indoor landfill.
Wow.
No. That was when my wife and I moved a couple of years ago, and we threw away a lot of stuff. So that was my joke about my old house. It was the basement was the indoor landfill. But that is no longer the case, I am proud to say.
Good.
But now, though, of course, is my favorite segment when I get to sit in for Mark Reardon, and that's Sue's News.
These allegations are deeply concerning.
Does the president have any comment?
We're not going to comment.
It's not clear messaging.
No.
And now, Sue's News. Brought to you by Sue.
Fred, your basement is organized, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, it's organized. There's no evidence that I live on the first floor of the house where you know, the regular living goes on. It's only
right.
in the basement where you can tell that I live there.
I understand.
Yeah.
Well, none? No evidence. Wait, maybe you got a pair of shoes somewhere, huh?
There might be a pair of shoes.
Okay. It is National Hug Day, so isn't that sweet? It's the week of Valentine's Day, so leading up, they give you National Hug Day. Now, this has some music, Ethan, because on this day in history, 53 years ago, in 1972, Al Green hit number one with this song on the singles chart. Oh, I love it so much! Let's Stay Together hit number one, and it knocked out, of all things, American Pie by Don McLean.
Huh.
Wow.
That song drives me nuts.
Just because
so
it's
I'd rather
so long.
Hear this. Yeah, what? Yes, and it confused me as a Ute. Why are we talking? What is happening? But Al Green, who, by the way, put out a recent single, if you love Al Green as I do, and it's pretty good. You can get that on Spotify if you want to hear it. But, yep, it was only on top for 1 week, Al was, because Harry Nilsson took over with his smash Without You. You know, I'm your face when you were leaving. That song, you know what I'm
right,
saying.
Yeah, right. Yeah, I'd rather you have Al Green. I would rather leave Al Green at the top.
Same, totally the same. And then, 32 years ago today, oh, I do watch this whenever it's on TV. In 1993, the classic comedy Groundhog Day was released.
Morning! See the groundhog?
Yeah.
Think it'll be an early spring.
Didn't we do this yesterday?
I don't know what you mean. No!
Don't mess with me, pork chop. What day is this?
It's February 2nd. Groundhog Day.
I love that movie.
You know, the first time I saw it, I kind of felt ripped off because I was thinking, you know, they wrote the same script for like, you know, five of the
that's hilarious.
Different sets
that
of the movie.
That didn't even occur to me.
And it's like, come on, I keep seeing the same thing. How easy was this to make? But the more I've watched it, the better it gets.
Well, yeah, but actually that's the challenge.
Exactly,
because
Brad.
As they do right. The similar dialogue, you've got to keep it straight. Okay, which one of these am I in? I think it would be very challenging to shoot that as a movie.
Yeah, and to cut it together.
Oh, my goodness. Because how do you know what you're looking at?
Right, exactly. Oh, it's incredible. And, of course, one of the young Ethan, have you seen this film?
I have not.
Oh, Ethan, yeah. Come on.
It's all right.
Sorry.
He's got a lot to catch up on. But it would explain a lot of memes, I think, if you were to watch it.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
Yes, I think that would help you. But, yeah, of course, it starred Bill Murray as a guy stuck reliving the same day over and over again. And in 2020, Jeep took full advantage of this and yes. used it in the Super Bowl commercial. What was that? I didn't remember that one. Was it him in the car with the groundhog or the truck?
Well, yeah, and then he was like driving up in a Jeep to see the sunset,
that's
as I recall.
Right.
And then it was over and over
that's
and over again.
Right.
But you know what was great about that? I read the background of that ad.
Yes.
And you can't reach Bill Murray. He doesn't have an agent.
That's right.
He doesn't have a cell phone.
Uh-huh.
And so the only way you can reach him is you have to leave a message on a voicemail
yep.
on a home phone.
Holy moly.
And so Jeep started like in a year before the Super Bowl saying, we want to do this commercial. Couldn't reach him. They only reached him at the end of October before the February Super Bowl. And they didn't shoot it until January.
Unbelievable.
So he's like impossible to get a hold of.
And I guess he just screens these. And if he likes you, all right, he'll call you back. If not, all right, maybe not. Well, his brother, of course, was the mayor in that.
When they get together,
I'm always entertained by that for some reason.
And also from Caddyshack, Brian Doyle Murray he was the judge in the golf tournament. And when Rodney Dangerfield comes up to Brian Doyle Murray and hands him this wad of cash and says, keep it fair. You know, Brian Doyle Murray was great.
Oh, it's a Cinderella story. All right. There is a new winner for Best in Show, and I'm just kicking myself because I knew this was coming up, but I failed to watch it. Best in Show at the Westminster Dog Show. And here they are. We've got some audio. They are crowning the winner last night in New York.
For Best in Show at the 149th Annual Westminster Kennel Club Dog Show, I choose the giant schnauzer.
Oh, Monty! He did it! 3 years and he finally wins Best in Show. What an incredible moment for Katie Bernadin.
Monty the Magnificent, your 2025 Best in Show, the Giant Schnauzer.
The Giant Schnauzer, Fred.
So you can run again even though you, like, well, you said it's his third try.
Yeah, well, it was the third year in a row he'd made the final. But, and as you know, well, maybe you don't, but all breeds are in the final, one from each class,
right.
The working dog and the blah, blah. And he was the best in show from his breed and from his class, but got looked over. He is the first giant schnauzer to ever win.
Hmm.
He's I don't love schnauzers, but yay for Monty.
I thought it worked like beauty pageants, where, you know, you're in it 1 year, then you're done.
Oh, no.
Mm-mm. Well, I didn't even know. I mean, I love dogs. I've owned dogs all my life. But when I saw that yesterday, I never even knew there was a giant schnauzer.
You only knew the normal schnauzer?
The little bitty ones, you know, the ankle biters.
That's the ones that drove me nuts.
Yeah, but I've never seen one. This one's huge.
Aunt Leah and Uncle Wayne had one of those, right?
A giant?
No, a little one. It was just a yipper.
Yeah.
And he wasn't cuddly. He wasn't friendly particularly. I'm not a schnauzer fan. That's why. But I don't mean to insult Monty, who may be a fine individual.
Yes.
Was it breeded with something to get so big?
I don't know. Maybe. The schnauzer is, well, no, they call it schnauzer.
Well, so, listen, at the dog show, that has to be a purebred dog.
Yep.
So my guess is that the smaller ones were derived from the giant one, right?
Yeah.
And they bred it down over the centuries.
Yeah.
That would just be my guess.
But like they did with the poodle, I don't know which came first.
Oh, I think the giant poodle came first.
Standard poodle.
Right.
But in the case of giant versus just schnauzer, one wonders.
I want to see a giant dachshund.
Well, that's something, Fred.
Yeah, but if it was truly giant in all proportion, I mean, its belly would be enormous. Yes.
That's right.
It's pretty much a basset hound. I think that's what you've got.
Yeah, you're right.
But, maybe not. All right, we have a new report out that analyzed actual data from insurance companies and accident reports to come up with the definitive list of the best and worst drivers by vehicle brand.
Really?
And I'm not sure, you know, is that scientific? Obviously, the numbers are accurate, but is there a correlation between driving and accident based on what you drive?
Well, it would be if you drove a Ford Pinto.
Yes. Number one, here are the results. These are the top three worst driver brands of vehicles. Number three, Subaru. I am not surprised, but then you don't live on my street. Number two is Ram. And number one is Tesla. And I think the Tesla people, you just get in it, and it's straight up torque. And it probably takes you a minute to go, hey.
Perhaps people taking advantage also of maybe some of the the automatic stuff where it's, you know, kind of
looking at the big screen and doing all that.
Well, it's also like there's some like driving on your own stuff that goes on. I wonder if some of that causes issues.
There are a lot of videos on YouTube of people sleeping.
Yeah.
While they're driving in their Tesla,
because
people drive up next to them, see someone asleep behind the wheel, and they take videos of it.
Yep.
There's a lot of those videos.
Well, I will say, because you just get the car, program where you want to go, hit start, you go there.
Exactly.
Across the country, Tesla drivers had nearly 37 incidents per 1,000 drivers throughout 2024. And these include accidents, DUIs, speeding, and citations. Ram is the second worst, and it was also the second worst in 2023. Now, the best drivers, number three, Cadillac, number two, Pontiac, and number one, Mercury. Those are the safest drivers. Fred, you are not mentioned on any of these, and I would put you at the top for most
driver. I'm just a slow driver.
Fred is uber safe, and I don't mean uber as in the driving of the car. He's just super safe.
I was in a Tesla maybe 2 years ago in Atlanta when my son Shane lived there. His roommate Cliff had a Tesla, and they drove it with me in the back seat, like in rush hour in Atlanta, on the automatic sort of setting. And they were like turning around and looking at me, and I was just freaked out the whole time. But it was great, there was no problem. Oh, that's true. Yeah.
Yeah.
We were awake.
I just want to put it out there. I have owned two Mercuries, and I have wrecked them both.
Okay. Oh. All right. You're bringing down the average.
I am.
You're right. They say that 19 out of 1,000 incidents for Mercury, Pontiac, and Cadillac. That's not nearly as bad. And two of those are Mr. Ethan. Now, they do the whole thing, 11th to 20th worst, Lexus, Acura, Jeep, Hyundai, Nissan, Mercedes, Kia, Volvo, Land Rover, and Ford. But, is that really anything you could take
to
the bank?
I'm curious how long they've been doing this for.
Yeah, like, I don't know.
Do the year-by-years track? Because I think you'd have to start looking into some of those. If you just went off of 1 year, I don't know if there's really much there.
Well, one of our posters, Chris, just posted that, and this is a great point, that Pontiac hasn't been made in 10 or 15 years.
Yep.
So if you're out there driving a Pontiac, chances are it's been in your garage for the longest time.
Or
you're only driving it to church on Sundays, which is why you're not having any accidents.
Or it's ancient, and you're trying to keep that baby
that's
going.
That's what I was going to say.
That's like, what I'm talking about.
Can't really afford another one right now, so this is all I got. That's, we're going to take good care of it.
Wrap it in bubble wrap.
Been there. Okay, for the first time in history, most people watch YouTube on TV now in the U.S., and this is the first time ever. That's rather than computers or phones. Hmm. By the way, YouTube is only 20 years old. Does that not freak you out? 20 years old.
Wow.
Wow. According to an article in Variety, YouTube has been the number one service in time spent viewing on televisions in the U.S. for the last 2 years. So that's more than Netflix, more than Prime, more than Hulu. Mm. It's YouTube. And part of that, I think, is because when you get a smart TV now, they have it right on there.
Sure.
So you don't have to cast it from your phone. You can just go boop, and there it is.
I think I heard Mark told me the other day that, I think he told all of us, that sometimes at night he'll go home and watch YouTube videos with his daughter Alexa.
Yeah.
Bigger screen.
On TV.
Bigger screen.
Bigger
better
screen.
Better sound.
Yes.
It's just easy.
Yeah, for it all is. Those cat videos you're watching, yeah, you can watch it on the big screen.
I like there's a dog groomer somewhere in Canada, and she does these big fluffy dogs down to the, and you know, at the end they're really tiny. I like stuff like that. But yeah, and there's more to see, and it's shot better than it used to be. Because at the beginning of YouTube, woohoo.
Oh, yeah. Cameras have slightly improved since.
Well,
yeah.
I remember when Google bought YouTube and paid $1 billion for it.
And we thought,
and I thought, wow, that's a lot of money. But how much you think they're making now off of YouTube?
Imagine.
No idea.
All right, to the happy story of today. Two kids, age 16 and 12, fell through the ice on a pond in Virginia last month, and they couldn't get out. Well, it's coming, happy. But luckily, here's what freaked me out. The 12-year-old already had an iPhone, and it was in his pocket, but it was wet, but it worked. It let him call 911, even without cell service. Firefighters showed up 10 minutes, pulled him out, and everybody's fine.
So when he called, did it sound like this? Please send.
Oh, my God.
Did it sound like that?
Did you hear me talk about kids falling in the freezing water, and that's his response? Fred, did you hear that?
That was just such a bad dad joke. I'm just disappointed.
Well, I'm a dad. I can make bad dad jokes.
Doesn't mean I'm not disappointed.
Okay.
I just think that was a good sound effect.
It was. It was for you. Yeah, that's true. And finally, in Susan News, we have today's random fact. Oh, this, I was like, what? Okay. Tom Hanks' brother, Jim. First of all, I didn't know he had a brother, Jim. Did you?
Well, I did because on animated cartoons, when they want Tom Hanks' voice, they hire his brother.
That's exactly what this is. Did you know that, Fred?
I didn't know it.
Tom Hanks' brother, Jim, does the voice of Woody in everything except the Toy Story movies. He handles the video games, the dolls, the TV specials, and everything else. Ethan.
I am shocked right now.
I was totally shocked.
You know, that it makes sense, but it's one of those things you think about and you're like, no, I'm sure they just do it, you know?
Yeah.
That, you know, there's one that reminds me of Pixar always does, like they sneak in the little characters from in other movies.
Yes.
And there's an end credit scene of Cars where it's car version of Buzz Lightyear and of Woody.
Oh, that's great.
And he's yelling at him and he says, "You are a toy car." And I've always wondered if that was actually Tom Hanks.
There you go.
It probably was his brother.
Yeah.
That is so funny.
Well, I imagine if you want Tom Hanks to do something, it's quite expensive.
Uh-huh.
So.
Yeah.
Uh-huh.
That's the thought, right?
Yeah.
And he's probably busy.
Yeah, or is he just throwing that to his brother to keep him going?
You know what? It may be a combination. That's a good point.
I'm sure his brother's doing okay.
My brother has got me zero voice work. I just want to say.
What a selfish
Brad,
guy.
Do you have a brother?
I don't. I have all sisters.
Ethan?
All sisters.
I have all sisters.
Mm, I got a brother. I'm the only one?
You're the only one.
Wow. Huh. And that's it for Sue's News.
Good Sue's News.
Oh, that's an excellent one.
We should be brothers, the three of us guys.
Yeah, because I don't have another brother.
Right. Yeah, me neither.
Brother from another mother, right?
Right.
There you go. Hey, we're going to take a break here. When we come back, we're going to talk to Dave Simons. You know Dave. He hosts Dollars and Cents over on KMOX, partner and managing director at One Private Wealth. We're going to talk to him about inflation and all things economics next on 97.1 FM Talk.
when you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret, with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
This President's Day, upgrade the look of your home without breaking your budget. Save up to 50% site-wide on brand new window treatments now at Blinds.com. Blinds.com, the number one online retailer of custom window treatments, is the better way to give your home the presidential treatment. Blinds.com makes it easy with free virtual consultations on your schedule and samples delivered directly to your door, fast and free. Choose from trending woven wood shades or upgrade to motorized. Blinds.com has everything and more, all with upfront pricing and no hidden fees. Need help with installation? Blinds.com can handle it for you. Or DIY with expert guidance from our design pros. With over 25 million windows covered and our 100% satisfaction guarantee, you can count on Blinds.com to deliver results you'll love. Shop Blinds.com's President's Day Mega Sale right now and save up to 50% site-wide, plus a free professional measure. Up to 50% off site-wide at Blinds.com. Rules and restrictions may apply.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Brad Young sitting in for Mark today, and in my garage band in the 80s, we played this song. And the only thing different between then and now is that I had hair in the 80s, which I could still play the drums, but I got no hair. That's the big problem. And I could say, if I were going to be rude, I could say, speaking of no hair, let's welcome Dave Simons into the show, partner and managing director of One Private Wealth here in St. Louis. Dave, it's great to talk to you, sir.
Brad, as always, thanks for having me on.
Yeah, he and I, we get our hair cut at the exact same place.
yes, we do. you know, someone just told me about a Barber's Hall of Fame in Columbus, Ohio, and I thought, why would I need to go there? There's nothing that can help me there.
Nah, I'm not going to be visiting that. Dave, I always like to talk to you whenever there's economic news or important things, because you can break these things down in a way that normal analysts who want to dive deep to show how much they know, you explain it to regular folks, and I always love your wisdom and insight. And the reason why I wanted to reach out to you, Dave, is that the Consumer Price Index jumped 0.5% for the month, putting the annual inflation rate at 3%. Was this higher than what markets were expecting?
Yeah, and that's why you saw a little bit of a pullback in the stock market. You saw a pullback in the bond market. It wasn't a terrible day, but certainly not a great day. And Brad, I'll tell you, at the beginning of the year, as people were asking me, hey, what are your biggest concerns about the markets here in 2025? And you always have a few of them out there. And I said, well, but number one is inflation. And that is the return of inflation. Because annual inflation had been falling for a couple of years, and it hit 3% last spring. And it fell a little bit below that, but then it just kind of seemed to stick there. And I was worried about that because I thought, man, we're not getting down to that 2% level that the Fed has really been wanting us to get to. It's like we stopped. We got down to like 2.7, 2.8. Well, now we're back up to 3. So that's the concern I have. I think the market, Wall Street, big investors, were thinking that we were going to continue to see that inflation number come down, and that would help the Fed to cut rates. That's not happening anytime soon, and the market's going to have to adjust accordingly.
Yeah, I've heard that 2.5% inflation rate called the Goldilocks number, because really, if you have deflation, that's awful. And if you have too much inflation, that's bad. So that 2.5 is kind of the Goldilocks number, isn't it?
It is. It's between 2 and 2.5, and you're exactly right. People always say, well, I wish prices would come back down to where they were.
No, that's
the 1930s. So that train's left the station. I understand how bad inflation was, and the cumulative effects were really bad. But if you want things to go back to where they were 5 years ago, that's kind of an economic decline or crash. So we're stuck with the higher prices. What we want now is just a much lower inflation number, where from here on out, we've kind of created a new base, if you will. We need to let the economy and we need to let wages sort of catch up and stay here.
Yes.
The problem is, though, inflation at 3%, and will it tick a little bit higher? And let me add one more thing, and maybe we're going to ask about this, but the tariffs, if they really are going to hit as hard as President Trump would like, that could add even more to the inflation impact, and that's what I'm watching.
Well, actually, that was on my list of questions, Dave, and I'm going to jump right to that now, because we've seen President Trump really pushing this issue of tariffs. And when I look at it as a political analyst, there's differing results about whether tariffs can achieve the political goals that they want to achieve. I mean, historically, there's kind of a mixed bag of evidence on that. But economically, I don't see it as being a mixed bag. If we have tariffs, how does that directly impact the inflation rate?
Because what you would have, you touched on something that's very, very important for people to understand. What is the purpose of threatening tariffs? If it's strictly because, hey, we run a big current account deficit with those foreign countries because we buy a lot more of their goods than they're buying from us because of currency fluctuations and cheaper goods and labor and all that. Okay, that's one thing. And you say to make it a more even playing field, we're going to raise our tariffs and we get into a tariff war. That's one thing. I'm not so sure, Brad, that that's what President Trump is really doing here. To a certain degree, yes. He's using this more as a potential cudgel over them.
Yes.
To threaten other things and say, look, Mexico, you got to do your part to stem this massive flood of illegal immigration into our country. Canada, you don't have it as much there, but we do see now fentanyl starting to come in through those borders, and we're going to threaten tariffs if you don't. So it's kind of a both and there to say, we have unfair trading practices with you, country A and B, and we also need you to step up to the plate and help us in these other things, and that's what the tariffs are. So my own opinion, and that's all it is, I think we're going to see some tariffs. I don't think they're going to be as draconian as maybe President Trump says to make the headlines. I think he uses that more as a threat for other countries to come to the table. If I'm right about that, I don't think that we'll see tariffs add as much to the inflation picture. If I'm wrong, and we really do get into a global trading war here with higher tariffs across the board, Brad, there is nothing good in terms of what it does to us economically and to the average homeowner and the price of goods and services, because they will go up.
Yeah, that's what I wanted to drive home here, Dave, and that is that there's an economic consequence of tariffs. There's the political agenda of tariffs, but
yes.
Also I see, just as a pure libertarian capitalist that I am, I'm thinking about in the 70s when we had tariffs on cars being imported in the United States, and that really provided the car companies an excuse to make inferior products because they had tariffs to help hide the fact that their product wasn't as good as some of the other products. And we had some really garbage vehicles in the mid to late 70s. And so that also has a consequence when it comes to tariffs.
And we, as we know now, too, much higher inflation there in the 70s, is it became almost uncontainable, and we had to raise rates up close to 20%. Nobody wants that. So, no. You know, what I would tell anyone listening now, if they're investing, don't use the headline news of today as kind of a panic mode to say, oh, my gosh, we are going to have much higher inflation. I better, you know, get out of the market to do this. No, that's not what we're talking about here. You don't need to do that if you've got a reasonable allocation. But just watch it carefully. These things, fortunately, don't happen overnight. We get these trend lines. And Brad, maybe January is an anomaly. I've read a couple of reports to say that there were seasonal factors at play that might have pushed the inflation number a little bit higher. I don't ever overreact to a one-month set of data. Now, if February and March come out a little hotter than expected, then maybe people need to start adjusting portfolios a little bit.
Yeah, my wife did tell me this week that she had to take out a mortgage on our house in order to go buy some eggs. But we have seen, that was what she said when she came home from the store. But yeah, we have seen some inflation. I hope that it's not something that's going to be lasting for a long time. But speaking of inflation, speaking of interest rates, I know there's been some pressure on Fed Chairman Jay Powell to lower the rates. He's indicated that the Fed would be holding interest rates steady. So how do the latest CPI numbers that we saw, how does that go into the blender of decision-making for the Fed?
Well, they're not going to be cutting rates anytime soon. I know that's what the president wants. It's interesting. This is how President Trump governs, good or bad. And so he said basically as soon as he took office, hey, the Fed needs to cut rates, in his words, immediately. But when the latest numbers came out the month before, he said, when the Fed met and said they're not raising or not cutting rates, Mr. Trump said, oh, I'm good with that. I thought, wait a minute, I thought you wanted them to cut. And then he's good. Well, then he just came out today and said the Fed needs to cut again. So I think Jay Powell, the Fed chairman, does a good job of tuning that out and says, no, we've got a mandate. And that mandate is to carefully watch where inflation is, where unemployment is. And they would be right to hold steady. One more thing on that. When we started the year, Brad, the consensus estimate was the Fed would probably cut rates two or three times this year. As of right now, as I'm speaking to you after this number came out today, the consensus estimate says they will cut one time in December. That's a dramatic change.
Big change. And yes. You mentioned President Trump's discussion or rhetoric when it comes to the Fed, but even though the president gets to appoint the chairman of the Federal Reserve, does the president have any direct control or authority over the Federal Reserve?
Basically zero, and I like that.
Yeah,
I like an independent Fed. We can sit on the sidelines, look, as we have every right to do, and we can criticize, and we could say Jay Powell or Janet Yellen or Ben Bernanke or Alan Greenspan, whoever it is, we don't like what you're doing. But they look at the data. They do the best job they can. It's a tough job. They get it right most of the time. When they're wrong, unfortunately, they get it wrong in a big way. And typically, presidents do not necessarily have the best interest in mind of the overall economy. It's the best interest either for them politically or for their party. Hate to be cynical. That's just the way that it is. So I like the independence of it.
Yeah, me too. Last question. We're talking to Dave Simons, partner and managing director of One Private Wealth, based in Chesterfield. And Dave, another focus of the Trump administration is the national debt. I think right now it's at $32 or $33 trillion.
Maybe 36 trillion.
36
now.
Trillion. See, I blinked. Yeah. I blinked and it went up again.
That's right. But, it's the eggs.
Yeah, it's the eggs. That's it. But generally speaking, when interest rates go up, how does that impact the cost to the U.S. government in terms of servicing that debt?
That's my second biggest fear going into this year. Literally, you've hit them both. So we talked about inflation and interest rates, but yeah, it is the debt. And I've always said, and I've been in this business now, I'm in my fourth decade, and people have long been worried about the growing deficit and federal debt. And I've said, I'm not really. It'll matter when it matters. Well, how could it not matter? Because the interest that we're paying on the debt historically has been relatively the same, well, until the last year. Now it's become problematic because now the interest that we're paying on this burgeoning debt load we have is starting to crowd out other essential services, and something's going to have to happen. I applaud the folks who are trying to, anyone associated with Doge who's getting in there and they're breaking things and taking names and at times bring a little draconian, and it upsets people, but that's what has to be done. I'm sorry, it just has to be. That's just part of the of the puzzle here, Brad, is we've got to cut government expenses and at the same time raise tax revenue, which is a whole other topic for another day. We've got to get those things done because the amount of interest we're paying is now a higher percentage of our outlays, and that's problematic.
Yeah, I've used the metaphor, and I just want to see in closing here if this is accurate, but when I've talked about this on the air, I've often said if an individual has a variable interest rate mortgage, and then every month the interest on their home mortgage goes up, how does that affect that person's ability to buy cars, to go on That's vacations, right. to go out and eat? I mean, it impacts every other area of spending if you're paying more for the debt. Isn't that the same concept for our government?
We have reached for the first time late last year, the amount of interest that we're paying on the debt is a higher number than what we're paying for defense. And it's never been that way until now. And so now the deficit and the growing federal debt at $36 trillion, it wouldn't matter if interest rates were at 1%, but it matters now. And that's going to be, like I said, problematic through the rest of the year. It has to be addressed.
Mm, thank you, Dave. Hey, Dave, if folks want more information about one private wealth or about estate planning or managing wealth, how can they reach you?
Well, I think the best thing is just go to the website. You can see a little bit about the team, and there's contact information. And it's very simple to remember. It's just literally Dave at one, spelled out O-N-E, P-W-M, which is Private Wealth Management. So it's Dave at O-N-E-P-W-M.com.
Very good. Dave Simons, you're the best, my friend. Thanks for joining us this afternoon on 97.1 FM Talk.
Thanks, Brad, as always. Appreciate it.
Great to talk to you. See you at the barber. Listen, we've got, when we come back from this break, there's litigation about Superman and the movie, and it could impact whether or how you see the upcoming Superman movie. You want more information? Stick around. I'll break it all down for you next here on The Mark Reardon Show, 97.1 FM Talk. I also want to dive into this topic. I teased it a few minutes ago, and that is a lawsuit was filed last week by the estate of Joseph Schuster. Now, you may recall that Joseph Schuster and also there were a couple of people who started the Superman comics way back in the 40s, and they started this idea of Superman, and yet the estate sold off the rights a long time ago to DC Comics. And so DC has then franchised it to Warner Brothers to make the movies. We've seen the trailer. Sue, have you seen the trailer for the Superman movie?
The latest one?
Yeah.
Probably.
Yeah, it's been millions of hits. It looks really good. He even has Crypto the dog.
Oh my gosh.
In it. Superman's dog is in it.
Wow.
He looks really, really cute. But the question becomes, will we even get to see it? Because a lawsuit's been filed. It involves copyright law. And it doesn't involve U.S. copyright law, but in other countries like Canada, Britain, and there's a couple of others, they have provisions in their copyright laws that specify that 25 years after the date of the content originator dies, then it reverts back to their estate. Well, the estate of Joseph Schuster, I believe Joseph Schuster died, I believe, in the 90s. And so 25 years after that is just now coming up this year.
So it doesn't become public domain. It goes back to his estate.
Correct.
Interesting.
And that's a great point because you remember for years, It's a Wonderful Life, it was in the public domain, and TV stations loved to run it because they could run it without paying anything.
Yep.
And they could sell all the ads, and then it went out of the public domain, which is one of the only instances where that's ever happened.
Wow.
Because the owner of the short story, the copyright owner of the short story on which It's a Wonderful Life was made, went to court and reestablished their copyright interest in the movie because it was based on the book.
That's really cool.
So that's why you can only now see it like on Amazon or I think one network may play it once. But before it was just
everywhere.
Ubiquitous.
Yeah.
It was everywhere. You can see it. No longer the case. So this isn't Superman going into the public domain, but under other countries' laws, because Schuster died more than 25 years ago, died in the late 90s, now the argument of this lawsuit is that all of the rights to Superman goes back to his estate because he's been dead more than 25 years.
That's kind of a crazy law, isn't it?
It is, but they're in other countries not the U.S. So the question becomes, how are they going to sort this out?
Mm.
Now, do I think for a minute that this is going to block the distribution and release of the Superman movie? Not a chance. Okay.
Don't you think that? So what has to happen? Do they have to pay? I mean, it's always about money, I assume.
You know, it's always about money. When people come up to me, Sue, and they say, oh, you're a lawyer, I've got to ask you about this injury I had. It's not about the money. It's not really about the money. But, Brad, I got a question.
And can they ask I get me, the money?
And then when I tell them what I think their case is worth, they say, well, no, it should be worth more than that. And my answer is always the same. I thought it wasn't about the money. Okay? You just told me it wasn't about the money. I tell you how much it's worth, and you're complaining about the value of the case. So it's always about the money,
yep.
No matter what anybody says. So I see this lawsuit, even though I think there's merits to the litigation, I do see that at the end of the day, the Schuster family estate doesn't want the gravy train to end.
Of course not.
Okay? Because James Gunn is going to want to make a bunch more mm-hmm. Superman movies. They're all going to make $1 billion.
Mm-hmm.
So the way this gets resolved is at some point the estate says, we'll settle the lawsuit in exchange for 1% of the movie profits, or whatever it might be. That's going to be negotiated. But that's how it's going to get resolved.
Heck yeah.
Because then they get a money train for the rest of their lives, and the movie gets to come out.
Yeah. And they'll just make more, and they'll make more money. Wouldn't that be just the case that it got passed down so many times, and you've got weird cousin Frank or whatever who doesn't want to do it or holds up? I mean, the fact that it's in multiple hands, even though it's one family, could
yep.
just be really tricky.
It would be tricky, but again, at the end of the day, it's all about the money, and it will get resolved by paying what? More money.
More
and,
money,
and they
more
won't
money.
Resolve this by settling it for kryptonite. It'll settle for dollars, I promise you. Brad Young sitting in today for Mark Reardon. More after this on 97.1 FM Talk.
Get more at 97.1talk.com.